We're going to talk about how to set up leadership health as a church planter. And that leadership health really starts with you, the church planter. And there are certain leader traits that people smart in church planting traits, if you will, that you need for you to do well in your church plant. So the church planter and the leader culture are very strong. It starts with you living that servant leadership. It develops into recruiting leaders. So we're going to talk about the church planter and leader culture, about that live student leadership, that living it out, and to recruiting leaders. These are things that make leader health. Now I'm going to start right away with talking about some of the scripture that found leader health. The fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Matthew 7, verse 16 to 20, by their fruit you will recognize them. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. These are simple but powerful Bible passages. A church planter sees increase not because you are intentionally, selfishly motivated to see the work. It's the fruit of a connected leader to God is the essence of a church planter. So, your calling and walk must be strong. 1 John 1, verse 6 and 7, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. So we live it, we walk it. As a church planter, we are ambassadors of Christ. And that is something that's core to who you are. So when it comes to who you are, when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to these things necessary for leadership, at this point in this church planting class, I want to ask you to really look at a self-aware and spiritual discernment of yourself. 2 Corinthians 5:16, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. In 1 John 4, 1-3, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now, these two passages have one thing in common. They both talk about self-awareness. One of them is talking about this idea that you are an ambassador of the king from another place. That's the kingdom of heaven. And the other says that acknowledge that Christ is real in our lives. He's come in the flesh, that he lived with us. So a spiritually discerning leader is one who cares deeply about who they are in Christ, about their traits for leadership, and they are constantly improving. So, having said all this, let's now talk about that dynamic of self-awareness, recruitment, who you are as a leader, and talk about it in light of these powerful ideas. One, do you have open and confident in sharing government, governing, and leadership? Are you willing to, like, say, I have a team around me. I want a team around me. Exodus 18, verse 21 to 23. This was when Moses was getting too busy. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times and have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all the people will go home satisfied. So what in church planting, these Moses type situations are your type situations. As you develop a team, you will be blessed. If you put it all to yourself, you will be burdened. So what you need is to then be savvy in a godly way in relationships. Be comfortable with relationships. Welcome relationships. Be secure in relationships to others. Know that you proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Even people very different than you, learn how to work with those people. Even people who grate you, and you will find that in church planting. People will come into your church plant and they are the opposite of you. You usually, in your flesh, will get annoyed by these people. Learn how to not get annoyed by these very people. Learn how to love them. Learn how to have a balance with them. Learn how to do well with people that you don't necessarily like in your flesh. Learn how to bless these people so they take their next step in their walk with God. Be secure in your relationships to others. Another trait in the servant leadership is have a do whatever it takes mentality. Like in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greeting. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. They expect behavior of others they don't expect of themselves. This is what happens to many church planters, where what they'll be doing is, I'm planting this church for you. But the reality is, as a church planter, what is good for you is good for everyone. What's good for everyone is good for you. The attitude of Epaphras, who basically wrestles in prayer, stands firm in the will of God, fully mature. He's a guy who, if prayer is needed right now, pray. If shoveling the snow, if you live in a northern climate, is needed, go for it. People need to see that who you are is the same person, and you will do whatever it takes. Now, having said this, this does not mean that you'll always shovel the snow. It doesn't mean that you're going to do everything and burn yourself out. But in your heart, people have to know, as a church planter, that you are willing to do anything for the Lord, and so that no one is disrespected for what they do. You're very respectful of other persons. 1 Peter 2, verse 17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God, honor the king. Watch for those who see others as inferior to themselves. Watch for that in yourself. God may use people you have never would have thought of. And you should always be respectful of those who God brings in your life. Just think about it this way. Everyone comes into your life for a reason. A church planter. Everyone who God brings is there for a reason. And, you know, it'd be nice to say, you know, I plant churches for the people I like and the people I connect with, and so be it. That's not the way it's going to be. When you plant a church, there are going to be older people come, younger people with a past that's very difficult. There will be people who challenge your leadership because they challenge leadership to their own family. That's just how they are. And you can be disrespectful and say, you know what, I love the gospel of Christ, but not for those people. Those people don't count in my book. As a church planter, be respectful of other persons and show that proper respect. And make sure always that you don't think you're better than anybody, because you are not. We are all saved by the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay humble and reject favoritism. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. James 2 verse 9, but if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. showing favoritism. You know, in a church plant, if someone comes in and they have more money, sometimes a church planter can be tempted to say, ooh, I'm going to make sure that I really keep them. And then the next person comes in and they don't have any money, and then you sort of say, well, you know, they're coming in here. I'm going to spend more time with the person with more money and less time. No, a church planter looks at each person as, what is God doing in their life? And you want to be above that favoritism thing. You don't want to have an elitism. People who have this elitism, essentially, people see through that in a hurry. If someone is interested in me because of money or, you know, what I can do for them, if that's how it really is, people see that in a hurry, and people will never really become their friend. Church planters are stable. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. The fact is, if you're a leader, angry leaders are a disaster for a church plant. If you have buttons that have to be pushed, and they're pushed by people, you know what I mean by buttons? It's like somebody sets you off, and a certain type of person sets you off. That kind of a leader is not stable. And as a church planter, you will not do well. Angry people are not people that people want to be around. And face that. If you are thinking about being a church planter and you have all kinds of bitterness from your past, bring it to the Lord. Maybe you need counseling. Find out where that rage is at. Get free. Get free from that. As a church planter, you don't want to have all these things that push your buttons. You want to be free. Now, some people say, well, my family is just so bad. Can God use me in my brokenness? Yes, God can use you in your brokenness, but don't take that brokenness to the marketplace and just, you know, unleash some of that pain on others. Instead, keep it given to the Lord. Sometimes, and I'm just going to say it this way, I'm going to say it, you got to have your game face on. Yes, somebody can push your button, but that does not mean that you lose that people smart ability to sort of listen, hold those emotions, and give them to the Lord. Talk to your spouse about them later, but do not take it out on others as you are in leadership. With that, keep honest intentions. You know, Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. You know, and I've seen that in young men and women and older men and women. There is a lot of duplicity around and a lot of talking behind each other's backs and a lot of wondering, you know, what somebody says and then, you know, responding to it and then talking to one person this way but really thinking this way. We are not of those who say one thing to some people but different things to other people. Try to be as honest and clear about your intentions as ever, but in a generous way. You don't have to be like honest is your intention, the judgmental. You don't have to like say, I don't like that because this is why, and then everybody knows, I know how that person feels about all things. No, have your convictions, but may they be gentle and non-judgmental, but still truly your testimony, truly your convictions. So people know who you are, but knowing who you are does not unload critical judgment on someone else. It's just who you are. Be who you are and share who you are as a leader. Encourage, being encouragers in developing people. You know, I love these passages from Acts 4, verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. I love that, son of encouragement. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. I love this idea of encouragement. You know, Barnabas took the apostle Paul, who he'd be later called, but right here his name is Saul. This is a risky person, and he brought him to the apostles, but he had this encouragement attitude. A church planter is one who sees opportunities. And that doesn't mean that it's just, I see opportunities and I'm blind to the negative. Barnabas really got to know Saul at that time and knew that he was called by God and that he had this anointing. If you want to be those who are servant leaders, who raise leaders, who do well with people, who are healthy in their leadership style, it's about being transparent. Leaders need to lead with open intentions that avoid the traps of manipulation. You know, there's this way in which sometimes leaders get criticized, and that's this, you know, I know you want something from me. Yes, you do. You want them to grow in Christ. I know that you want to take this church in this certain direction. Yes, you're a leader. You do. But be transparent about it. Paul is that way. 1 Thessalonians 2:3. But for our appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives. We're not trying to trick you. Now, Paul is as blunt as ever about what he wants. What he wants for people in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be clear about what we want. If you're a church planter, be very clear about what you want. Now, some people say, well, now be careful, you know, be very clear in a way that doesn't offend. Yeah, do not go out of your way to defend. Use good wisdom, but it may never be said that you are sort of manipulating a situation with hidden motives. Hidden motives will come back and harm you as a healthy leader, because those hidden motives will not bring that health. So in other words, I'm saying you won't get to that healthy leadership if you're someone who has a lot of hidden motives. You know, as a church planter, really it's about love. Early church leaders were open to ideas from God. In Acts, verse 15, verse 7, after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. Now, what do we have here? Is you have a situation where these leaders were open to listen to the Apostle Peter, and the whole concept here was that the Gentiles were going to hear the gospel. Okay, so the motivation is to love your neighbor. The motivation is the love of God, to bring it out. And that's the big idea. We're going to love. So all this input. And now what happens is they come together and the leaders were not like, you know, no, we don't want the Gentiles in here. No, they knew the point. And the point was to go forward. Now, what happened was that there's a leadership group of what can we do for the Lord? That's the attitude. As a church planter, what you're going to do is surround yourself with the yes men and women. Now, I'm not saying the yes, sir, we don't want to engage. No, it's yes for the mission people. Yes to reach more people, people who love, people who have this idea of how do we love more people in the name of Christ? How do we proclaim the gospel? How do we have that attitude that the Lord, you are so great, and your mission is so wonderful, and your call to love this world is so much that Jesus came to die on the cross for God so loved the world. And then to have leaders who have that attitude. What we're really talking here is, again, about people smart. We have a whole class at CLI. But to grow in a servant people smart is to be then committed. Let your conversations be always, I want to mention that word again, always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. You have words like always, everyone. You know, and again, church planters may say, wow, do I always have to be on? Well, yeah. Always? Will I fail? Yes, you're going to fail. That's the bad news. Will I drop the ball? Yes. And when you do, say, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. In a servant way. Not, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. No, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But in general, try to strive. Oh, but is that perfectionism? Who can be perfect? You can't be perfect. But let that people get seasoned. You know, there's a phrase about some, you know, people, they're seasoned. Seasoned with salt. They've been tested. They don't have bitterness. They're getting above some of the issues that hold them back. All for the glory of God, not to be manipulative, but having that servant heart. You know, church planting is so exciting, but this presentation today is so fundamental. To be a servant leader, to recruit others, to build a healthy leadership way means that inside you're a healthy leader and you're comfortable being with other people, whether you're an introvert or you're an extrovert. You're comfortable with people, all kinds of people, and all kinds of people do not hold you back. Even people who disagree with you, even people who are antagonistic, even people who you find have a long way to go in discipleship. A church planter is going to be around all those kinds of people, and you want to be a servant leader who, anointed by God, having that servant attitude with that joy. You're not going to be perfect, even if you're going to strive to be better and better, but you're going to be self-aware of how you can more and more be used by God to be effective in every person that God brings before you.